Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson, taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Rexrode, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm good. Apparently, you guys got into some controversy while I was gone, huh?
You're not allowed to leave anymore because bad things happen.
Got Marquise Munson over here. He's fired up this morning.
Munson's fired
up. He's ready
to
go at 6 a.m. So
I'm PO right, like, about that. Like, that frustrated me yesterday. Like, I was fuming yesterday. I have a witness that was by me the whole entire time when I'm going through my social media, and I was like, and Kroger just fuming.
Of wow.
Like, these people just do not know. Do not know.
You were taking your eye off the ball. Instead of trying to find the one package of toilet paper in Kroger, you were fuming at social
I was.
Media.
I was in a candy section. I was in the, like, cheese popcorn section. About to buy some cheese popcorn, which okay. usually makes me happy, and I was not happy.
Munson, why were you so mad?
Because people on social media and this damn list of five players that I didn't read the text messages thoroughly. That's my fault. I was very exhausted yesterday. It was a really rough morning for me yesterday. Did not get a lot of sleep. So it was a rough show for me yesterday, as you can tell. A little better today because, you know, I've had a banana and some, you know, vitamins today. So I'm good. But I made this list based off this starting five of the NBA based off of not only different eras, obviously, because I had Kareem and Kobe and Dirk, and I had a couple new players. People just crapped all over my starting five. Like, first of all, and then I go on Facebook, and then there's one of Robbie's friends. So,
Well, Westbrook would have demanded the ball 90% of the time.
You dummy!
It is a
hypothetical starting five, you dummy. What do you think? They're
going to have locker room issues. Well, Russell Westbrook may be suspended for 15 games. You didn't take that in consideration?
No, I did not take that in consideration, sir. I didn't take any of those things. That took talent in consideration.
You didn't count up how many technicals they've got this year, man. Yeah. That could totally affect your team.
Like, come on, people. Like, it is a starting five. See, it's a difference between the movie list that we're going to talk about at 8 o'clock and then my starting five. That movie list was a panel of a bunch of people. That list is my list. That is a team for me. That's not a team for you. It's not your Nashville Stars basketball team. No, it is my team. So if I want to put Dirk Nowitzki on that damn team, that is my team.
I just want to point out that my Facebook friend there, I have no idea who that is. I'm sure it's a Predators fan of some kind. I get a lot of Predators fans adding me on Facebook.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't add Ryan Johansson on my basketball team, sir.
I have no idea.
I bet you would have loved that, wouldn't you?
So wait. So you, on Facebook, and I've got to be very honest here. I only have a Facebook account because my wife started it for me, and I really don't go there. But you approve friend requests of just anybody?
Yeah, I need to probably stop doing that.
That's interesting.
It's probably a flaw of mine.
There you go. And then they come after you. They come after you, Munson.
Yeah, they came after Munson. They didn't come after me.
Yeah, they didn't come after you because they had the generic players. They had the typical five players that everybody would have on their list. I try to be different, and look at me. This is what happens when you try to be different and try to showcase how much basketball you know by featuring people that people don't usually put on the list. And there I go.
Munson, wow. I actually liked your team.
I do, too.
Your team wasn't terrible. I just think it was the third best of the three. But
I would say this.
I mean, it was fine. It was, you know, great players on there.
If I knew that it was going to be a competition between us three, I didn't know that until after the team, and I was like, oh, great. This is going to be fantastic. It's going to be fun for me on social media today. If I would have known that, I would have substituted David Robinson for Dirk Nowitzki and had a lineup of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and David Robinson, two centers. Well, I mean, who cares? It's we're playing old school basketball here.
Yeah.
Two centers? I'm going to run that with my four man. I'm going to run Dirk off screens, and who's going to keep up with him? See? There we go. Hypothetical.
But nobody has Dirk. Nobody would have had Dirk.
I'm just saying, I'm going to take a four man who can shoot. I'll take Durant and say, okay, David Robinson, guard Durant.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
There we go. I'm in.
And then I would have took Isaiah Thomas, who's probably one of my most underrated favorite point guards of all time. I would have took Isaiah Thomas instead of Russell Westbrook.
My favorite athlete of all time, so I approve of that message.
Yes.
I want to let the record show, and look, we all realize that Munson had a tough morning yesterday, but I do want to let the record show for the committee involved in this judgment that I did tell him it was going to be a competition. I did.
Again, but we have to also look at what time you told me this, because I fluctuate. Like
I know, I'd be
getting like ready for the show, and once my computer is closed, look, once I do this, it's over. Like that's it. That's done for me. Once that computer's closed, Marquise Munson has officially signed out of the group chat. Completely, mentally and physically. So once that computer closes, it's closed. It's not opening back up.
Joe, that's basically his way of telling us that he only reads about 30% of what we send him. So that's okay.
I said 50. Okay. It's 50-50. It depends on when you get me. Like, if you get me before 7, that's cool. I'll read it. But if it's usually after, I'm just like, okay.
But then sometimes, cool. Sure, you catch up on it in the morning, right? I mean,
yeah.
Ideally.
But so, like I said, yeah. Once again, wasn't my
morning.
It was a rough day.
It
was a rough morning. Didn't get any sleep. It was a rough morning.
Perfect storm.
Joe, I want to get your thoughts on the NFL officially making the decision to expand the playoffs. An extra team in each conference made official 2 days ago in a vote. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not surprised. All along, I've been like, okay. It's okay. I mean, we certainly have seen in the NFL, we have seen, six seeds go win it. So the playoffs, anything can happen. Can a 7 seed go win it? I mean, if you look back, last year, that would have been the 8-8 Steelers in the AFC. It would have been in the 9-7 Rams in the NFC. If you go back through the years, I think in the last 5 seasons, the only team that had a better record than 9-7 would have been the New York Jets in 2015. Like, I do feel like, teams that go 10-6, you expect them to be in the playoffs. So there's an example of a team that was probably, okay, now that team should be in. But in the same year, the 8-8 Falcons got in. And also, by the way, the Titans would have been in 16 with their 9-7 record. After they had a chance, great chance to win the South for people who remember back then, and went down to Jacksonville. Mariota broke his leg. They lost that game, and they're out of the playoffs. It's okay. It's fine. I think you do, to an extent, water things down. I guess another thing with this that I don't love is, the one bye. I mean, that really is a huge advantage now for one team. And in some years, if like last year with the Ravens running away, there would have been no drama at the end of the year. Instead, we were watching the Patriots-Dolphins game,
yeah,
and there was all kinds of drama. And the Chiefs were playing, and the Chiefs were like, whoa, we got a bye. And guess who won it all? And guess who's been winning it all lately? Teams that get byes. So now, if you have a situation like last year with the Ravens, those games mean nothing. Those teams know they're all going to play, and the only team that's going to get a bye is the Ravens. So I think if you're reducing drama in regular season games or the final week or the final 2 weeks, then I don't think that's good either.
Booger McFarland has given his thoughts from Get Up about the NFL expanding the playoffs. Here's what Booger McFarland had to say on that situation.
I think when you look at what we've had, which it rewards the top 2 seeds, especially teams that go on and have outstanding season, you get that bye, and that bye is important from a mental health and a physical health standpoint. Also, I don't like adding teams to the postseason, Greeny. I think it should be hard to win a championship, and the more people that you bring into it, the more people that you give an opportunity to, you're rewarding mediocrity. Because when we talk about the Rams and the Steelers, we both know those situations, it was highly unlikely based on the regular season that the Rams and the Steelers had, they were going to make any kind of hay in the postseason, but we're going to reward them and bring them into the postseason. I don't like it, and it's definitely going to pay a big deal for teams not getting that bye.
So that's what Booger McFarland had to say on the situation. Look, I mean, I hear what he's saying there, and I understand a lot of what he's talking about. Now, to act like you the Rams are just not going to do anything in the NFC, or the Steelers aren't going to do anything, yeah, you could say that, but you don't really know. Like, here, look, let me tell you, as a Packers fan, I absolutely think the Rams would have beaten the Packers in the first round of the playoffs. So I absolutely think that would have happened. So who knows what could happen after that? Is it likely that the Rams or the Steelers would have made any noise? No, it's not. But it's also not likely that the sixth seed is going to do it either. And we saw what the Titans were able to put together in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, I guess my question is, do we need this? I mean, basically, I guess from a viewer perspective, you get now on that first weekend, you're going to get two triple headers. So you're going to get, as everybody knows around here, usually it's like whoever wins the AFC South is going to host that first afternoon game on Saturday. You know, the TV people are like, yeah, let's put that in the Saturday early spot. But now you got a Saturday early spot, you got a later, and then you have a primetime game, two days in a row. Great. I mean, hey, more football in those days, cool with me, but I don't think that we really need this. So it's fine. Again, when the CBA was coming through, I looked at this and said, well, I mean, this is the way things are going. Basically, the NFL and Major League Baseball have decided that they want to be like the NBA and NHL, and everybody makes the playoffs. And so they're creeping that way. My bigger problem was with the stupid 17th game, and that stupid thing is happening. So, whatever.
Whatever. Mike Vrabel and John Robinson addressed the media yesterday, and they said a lot of things that we're going to get to here in the show. And one of the things they talked about was the expanded playoffs. Here's what Mike Vrabel and John Robinson had to say about that.
We're going to try to, obviously, be one of those teams. And, the better you are determines whether you host one of those games or not, whether you get a bye. You know me, whenever they tell us to play, I'm going to play wherever that is. We're going to be ready to go play, and we're going to try to play as well and as hard as we can.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to, sit down and digest that. But, I mean, obviously for the fan base, whether it's our team or, 31 of the other teams, to have a chance to be playing in the postseason, to be in the tournament, I would say – our season last year, we weren't really a favorite once we got in, but we were able to string some wins together, kind of, and get to the AFC Championship game. No different than when I was with the Patriots and the Giants got in and they wrecked our undefeated season that we had going there in New England. That's the way it is. So I think in the end it'll be good for the sport. It'll be good for the fan base to be able to have a couple more shots at a championship.
Certainly going to be interesting to monitor what these lower seeds, if they get in the playoffs, as we go through the next few years here in the NFL, what they're able to do. And certainly we know at the end of the day, this is basically about money from the NFL. That's what everything boils down to in professional sports for the most part.
Right. More inventory. Again, those TV days will be great. They'll be huge, and it'll do well. You got more inventory. You got more inventory with the regular season now, too. With the regular season, the question becomes – or question was, can you really tell us that you're going to add in this environment when player health is supposed to matter this extra game? But, hey, if the players vote for it, the players vote for it. They vote for these things, they okay it, and, that's reality now.
When we come back, Jadeveon Clowney is reportedly dropping his asking price. What number should he get to before the Titans are comfortable trying to sign him to a longer-term deal? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans general manager John Robinson and head coach Mike Vrabel talking on a conference call yesterday about Jadeveon Clowney. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And, Joe, you were a part of that conference call yesterday with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. What did you make of kind of the openness they had to talk about Jadeveon Clowney and his health situation and kind of how they approach, viewing a player during a time where you can't really give him an in-person physical like that?
Yeah, I think maybe some fans took that for more than what it was. And I could be wrong here, but I think when you now – re-signed Kamale Correa, you've added Vic Beasley.
Either one, really good player.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if you look at the Titans cap space, and this is always one of those things that you got to be careful what you read on the internet. I do like SpotTrack.com in terms of salary stuff. They're usually pretty good. Right now they have the Titans basically at $23 million in cap space as of right now. Now, okay, but let's say, that is right now, okay, $23 million. Okay, now let's consider there's draft picks to come. There's undrafted free agents to come. There may be more money going to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
So where does that bring it? And also, and I know this for a fact, I've talked to John Robinson about it. Recently I talked to John Robinson about it. You know, they are big on having some flexibility, you know, even at the end. Think about when, you know, they had the injury at safety and picked up Jonathan Cyprian a couple years ago, and they were able to go pick up Kenny Vaccaro. You have a guy on IR, and then, you know, you can go out and sign someone, but, you know, still, you have to have that money. They signed Eric Decker. They signed Andre Johnson. They've done some of these moves in camp to try to improve themselves, so they like to leave some room there. If you add that all together, how much money would be left for Jadeveon Clowney? I don't think certainly not anywhere near what he supposedly wants. Now, closer to what he might come down to, maybe, but man, it seems to me pretty far-fetched that they would end up with Jadeveon Clowney on this roster.
And to that point, Diana Russini of ESPN came out yesterday and said that Clowney has dropped his asking price. You know, Joe, we've talked about it being in the $20 million range, now down to $17 to $18 million, somewhere in that range. To me, Joe, and you tell me if you disagree, I still think regardless of the cap situation of the Titans, that's still too high for me. I don't think I would be willing to go to $17 or $18 million for Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, and again, I don't know if it's even possible. So Where would it be possible? I guess could you, if this is accurate or if it's close to accurate, all the things I mentioned there, you know, the draft, the undrafted free agents, having some flexibility, adding to Derrick Henry. And again, with Derrick Henry, I mean, you can do different things in terms of what your cap hit would be. But, I mean, is 15 even possible? I don't know. And now 15 to me seems reasonable. I think,
sure.
I would definitely consider, just for what Clowney is, I would consider that. I think that they, they were asked directly about Jadeveon Clowney, and so they, you know, Vrabel basically just talked about his perception of him as a player and when he coached him in Houston. And Robinson really, I mean, it's not like either of them really, they gave any indication about how much interest or how frequent the talks have been or whatever, but you know, it's not like it's a big secret that that he's out there and that they would have interest. Robinson did make the point, you know, that the medical situation is a challenge, and there's just no doubt about it. When you have a guy like that, he's young, but he's had several injuries, and a core injury is, you know, that's not great. That's something you really want to check out with your doctors. So that makes it challenging too. When it's all over here, I'm just going to guess he's going to end up having to go back to Seattle, and maybe he'll take a year and then see if he can hit the market again.
Well, the two free agents that are still out there that we've spent the most time on this show talking about, and I think Titans fans as a whole have spent the most time talking about, are Jadeveon Clowney and Logan Ryan. John Robinson was asked about both of those guys yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I would say we're you know, we're still working through it. We're looking at guys that are still available. You know, there's some guys that are out there and available that we have had discussions with. There's some guys that we haven't. I don't know that we're done, but I don't know that there's going to be a flurry of moves here. You know, we signed, I'm sure you guys saw, we agreed the terms with Jack Crawford yesterday, and then Kamale Correa last night. So KC will be back with us. But yeah, there's still some things that we're working through. You know, I have talked to Logan's representation there. I would say there's nothing imminent in the works, and we have touched base with Clowney's representation too, and just kind of seeing and trying to navigate and work through where that one might be.
So that was John Robinson yesterday on the conference call with the media. Nothing imminent with Logan Ryan. I still wonder, like, what's the price tag that Logan Ryan is looking for? Because it's pretty obvious at this point, Joe, I don't think the market for Logan Ryan is exactly where he thought it would be.
No, agree. You know, he got 3 years, $30 million here. And it made sense, I think, to, at that point, try to go for a little bit shorter deal, take another run at free agency in 3 years. And he's there, and he's a good player. Clearly the market is not, I don't know You know, I haven't spoken to him about what he thinks his market is, but reportedly it's looking for, you know, $10 million a year like he's been getting, and it looks like that's not going to happen for him. So then where does it go, and what does it have to be for the Titans to bring him back? I'm sure the Titans would love to make that work if it can work for them. And obviously, if that's the case, then you can absolutely forget anything about Clowney.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, I saw some reaction to him, you know, confirming that they talked to Clowney's people and everything, and it's like, oh, see, it's not over. But it's like, look, do you really think they wouldn't have done that? It's just that he's confirming it. And I think it's, look, frankly, right now this team, especially up front on defense, looks weaker. And if I'm John Robinson, I do want to show my work on that. I want people to know, you know, I did try, you know, we did talk to him. It's like he was asked about Brady, you know, whether he talked to Brady's people, and it basically didn't answer it. It was like, we signed Tannehill. But, I mean, come on. I mean, realistically, do we think that – I mean, even if – who knows what the official talks were with Brady's people? We know Vrabel and – or I'm sorry, with Brady's people. But we know Vrabel and Brady talked. Of course, they talk about everything. Well, of course they've talked. So, you know, I mean, it's a no-brainer that there was some kind of informal discussion there. And it's the same thing with this. Of course they have talked to Clowney's people and have poked around on that. It totally makes sense. It doesn't mean that people should get excited from those comments yesterday that, like, something is going to happen. I think it's a very remote possibility.
Yeah, I think so too. And to be honest with you, I'm looking at it now, and if they don't bring back Logan Ryan or Jadeveon Clowney, and you look at this roster, I know Kamale Correa back in the fold yesterday, and that could be really important from a depth perspective, but you're relying a whole lot on Vic Beasley coming in and making a pretty big impact at this point if Clowney's not a part of it. And I think just kind of reading the tea leaves that you've thrown out there, Joe, I think that's probably the most likely scenario at this point is Vic Beasley's coming in. He's your big free agent pass rusher that you've signed, and maybe you address another spot in the draft as well.
Yeah, and exactly. And, you know, Jack Crawford, you know, you got to add some people, and so that's a potentially decent add. I don't know a lot about him as a player. I do know that his Twitter handle, SackReligious,
oh wow,
is pretty darn good. I would say one of the better Twitter handles on the team, so I'll give him that. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of kind of guys, prove-it guys, underrated guys. You know, Correa certainly came on late last year, and I don't think there's any question, if this is how it goes, that premium in the draft on getting another big body up front, you know, to help Jeffrey Simmons, because, you know, Austin Johnson also gone along with Casey. I mean, I think that's a big, big thing now. That to me, that's priority one, is getting a Marlon Davidson, which is a guy that Teron Davenport loves, or somebody who can eat up space and be athletic and disruptive up there. You know, because Jeffrey Simmons can't do this all on his own here moving forward.
When we come back, we've all wondered what the Titans' approach was going to be with Derrick Henry and the franchise tag. John Robinson talked about that yesterday. We'll react to that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans general manager John Robinson talking about negotiations with Derrick Henry after placing the franchise tag on him earlier in the offseason. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, we've talked a lot here on the show about the Titans making the decision to place the franchise tag on Derrick Henry, and, you know, what the Titans' approach was going to be, how Derrick Henry was going to respond to it. And if you take John Robinson for his word there, obviously, Derrick Henry, you're not ever going to be happy about the franchise tag getting placed on you. But it sounds like to me, at least their relationship has not been damaged to the point where, you know, negotiations just aren't going to happen. It sounds like both sides are willing and wanting to continue these negotiations and try to work out a long-term deal here.
Yeah, and the bigger question there to me is the Titans side. I mean, I think clearly, you know, the player in question here wants more security and more money,
sure,
right? I mean, so, you know, I never would have guessed, you know, like Derrick Henry would be like, that's it, I'm not talking to you guys. I'll just have to play on $10 million for 1 year and hope I don't get hurt. You know, of course, his side wants to keep working on this. But, you know, this was confirmation. And you know, I wrote my rant the other day about how I think Derrick Henry should get you know, should get a long-term deal, and why he's kind of being unfairly lumped in with some recent backs who have had injury issues. But Robinson also said, and this is no surprise either, but, you know, basically, like, you know, probably get at it in the summer. I mean, that's what it's going to be. It's going to – and the timeline may change, by the way. We don't know. We don't know what things are going to look like in July. But right now the deadline is July 15th.
Yeah.
For a long-term deal to get done, and of course that's basically 2 weeks before camp would start. So maybe that, you know, if the, I mean, it's possible like the calendar could get shifted too. Everything could get shifted, and maybe that deadline changes. But as of now, that's the deadline. That's when, that's before camp starts. And John Robinson kind of indicated, you know, they'll get back at it. I mean, right now they're up to their eyeballs in draft prospects and game film and trying to communicate, you know, all electronically versus how they're used to doing it. And they're not going to think about this, but they'll get at it in the summer. And I think they'll get something done. But it really is going to come down to that number. And, again, we were just talking about Clowney. We're talking about Logan Ryan, all the different things you want to do with this roster. And so as much as I think Derrick Henry does deserve more, you know, if you're the Titans, every $1 million counts as you're trying to leave yourself some room and improve yourself as much as possible, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
And John Robinson, to your point, Joe, also talked about the communication with Derrick Henry that he's had and how they're going to work through a deal here to hopefully come to a longer term agreement. Here's what John Robinson had to say.
You know, I met with Derrick as I've met with all of the guys that were, whose contracts were going to be up at the end of the season. Once we were done playing there, told him we were going to start working on that, which we did. At the end of the day, we couldn't come to, you know, an agreement on that one. So, you know, we used one of the avenues, you know, to keep Derrick, because Derrick's an important part of our football team. And, you know, I've spoken to, you know, his representatives after we used the tag, and you know, we want to continue to have those discussions and those back and forth in hopes of reaching some type of long-term agreement. And, you know, we'll kick those conversations off again here, you know, probably before the training camp gets ramped up and going.
Well, Joe, I don't know about you, but if I'm a Titans fan, I'm kind of encouraged by what I heard from John Robinson yesterday on this front, because while we all expected this to be the case, there was the possibility that we floated out there that, you know what, you know, we don't really know how John Robinson approaches, you know, a big-time running back hitting free agency. Maybe this is just one of those things where you look at the position, you look at what's happened throughout the league, and you're comfortable if you're the Titans just kind of riding it out on the franchise tag. It seems like that's not the case, and the Titans are very interested in making a longer-term deal with Derrick Henry work. And if I'm a Titans fan, that's really good news to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for John Robinson to put that on the record. I mean, I kind of wrote this Monday, but, you know, last week I kind of – some conversations led me to pretty strongly believe that was going to be the case. And again, it's like, it's not surprising, but you're right, Robbie. It's good to hear the general manager put that out there and say that, because it sort of – it holds him to that, you know, now. It publicly
right.
holds him to – the expectation that they're going to go in there and try to make it work. So, yeah, look, I Stillman had me on the other day to scream at me and like, well, why would you pay if you have a car for this amount of money, why would you pay more for it? I'm like, well, you know, Derrick Henry's not an inanimate object, one. And, you know, if you're running an organization, you might care a little bit about employee morale and also about rewarding employees who deserve it. So this idea of, I mean, at The Athletic, we had Mike Sando did a thing where he asked all the GMs anonymously, or different GMs, their takes on other teams. And what was the take on the Titans? Yeah, just tag them twice. 10 this year, 12 next year, $22 million, get out of there, see you later, Derrick Henry, and okay, fine. Well, okay, here's my question to that. So let's say Derrick Henry isn't done at 28. I mean, when DeMarco Murray was 28 years old, he was the best back in the league here in Nashville for a season, right, at 28. Yeah. So let's say Derrick Henry is actually great at 28 and still has certain – you still feel great about a couple good years left. I don't think that's far-fetched. Well, if you tag him twice, I promise you he will not be playing for your team at age 28, right? I mean, you got to think about all angles of this stuff too. So I understand it's the NFL. People get discarded all the time, and that's the reality of this league. It is the toughest in terms of, you know, player security of all the professional leagues. But it doesn't mean that you just take everyone and say, nah, you can just take the minimum and deal with it and buy. You know, I think in this case, you do a deal, and now you have a chance for a longer-term thing if it works out that way. It's not impossible for a running back to have a long career in the NFL. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen.
It does happen, and you would think, and we've talked about this a lot, Joe, just from a durability standpoint, and this can change. Look, I get it. It's the NFL. Durability can change from snap to snap, and I think we all realize that and understand that there's a risk every time that ball is snapped in the NFL that you can get hurt. But durability has been heavily in the favor of Derrick Henry during his time with the Titans, so it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that by the time he's 28, 29, even 30 years old, he's still a really effective player in this league. Now, is he always going to be as good as he was in the playoffs for the Titans this last year? Probably not. Like, it's probably a really high bar to hold. But if he's anywhere close to that, he's going to be one of the most effective backs in the entire NFL. And regardless of what the position may look like in the landscape of today's NFL, there's still huge value in that, especially when you're a top five back in the league. I mean, that could be the difference, as you've shown, Joe, with some of these Super Bowl teams. I mean, Freeman in Atlanta, Gurley with the Rams. While all these teams were really, really good, the running game and the running backs specifically was a huge part of it. Derrick Henry can absolutely be that for the Titans.
Right, and everybody will point to the Patriots, and you're right. If you point to the Patriots and say, well, they just plug in running backs like light bulbs and who cares? And that's fine. That's also been the Patriots with Tom Brady at quarterback for two decades. You can point to the 49ers this year. Raheem Mostert, of course, Purdue guy, you know, sort of bouncing around. I think, you know, he's undrafted coming in the league originally and just is fantastic. And so it's like you can go find a back. And that's true. You can find good backs out there. I mean, a guy like Keyshawn Vaughn coming out from Vanderbilt, I don't know where he's going to go. That's a guy who I think in the right situation could be really good in the NFL. There are guys like that out there. But Derrick Henry is special. I mean, he is. He's not, you know, he's different. And sometimes it's okay to acknowledge that you build yourself around him. When I was talking to Floyd Reese for that column, he's like, no one in the NFL wants to admit that they care about running the ball. It's like it's almost taboo. It's like, oh, no, the passing league, and that's what we do, and that's what we care about. Like, no one wants to admit it, but if you really look at teams that succeed, even if they don't have a high-paid running back, they need the running game. And the Titans use it more than most and do it better than most. And so you pay that guy.
When we come back, it's going to be interesting to see what the Titans look like defensively next year. Will Mike Vrabel be involved with the play calling? Joe Rexroad and I will get into that next. RockNashville.com is your community resource page brought to you by 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media. Even though we're holed up in our own homes, we'll get through this Nashville like we do everything else together. Go to RockNashville.com to support local businesses who are supporting you. We'll be back to talk about the Titans and continue that discussion next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking about kind of the different way of going about things this time of year due to the coronavirus and everything happening around the world of sports and specifically the NFL. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, it is a shame. Look, there are a lot bigger things going on right now and bigger deals. But it is a shame we don't get to see Mike Vrabel out there on pro days just swatting people around with the massive strength and size he still has as an NFL head coach.
By the way, Marquise comes in with Billy Squire the Stroke, which
that's
makes
nice.
Me think of like Vrabel in high school, like with a Trans Am, you know? like putting kids, giving kids swirlies, you know?
I actually love that song.
You guys know
song.
What swirlies are, right?
Yeah. Dunking them in the trash that's can, a, all kinds of things.
That is a great workout song.
That's way. That's a jam. People, you know, that was a huge song.
Here's where my generation gap kind of ruins things. Like the first time I actually heard, like, knew what that song actually was because of Eminem, because he has a song that uses that sample.
He does.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that song, but that, I believe that was the song that Adam Sandler was rocking with either a Trans Am or something when he showed up at high school in Billy Madison,
yeah,
right?
I think
it
is.
Oh, it was.
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
With his jean jacket.
But you never know what the song is until, like, I usually, like, how I pick up on a lot of old school songs is through hip hop, because hip hop uses a lot of samples.
Right.
And then they kind of keep the vocals in the samples. Like, I know Diddy did that with I'm Missing You,
with,
you know, and with, so on. And so.
He had a lot of terrible songs that were like that, yes.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Very. But, like, that's how I kind of get in tune with older music, is by listening to hip-hop, and then, like, oh, he sampled that. Let me figure out where they sampled it from, and then listen to the original.
Know, you know the best example of that, and most people haven't picked up on this, but you got to be a real Hall & Oates fan, but Method Man, you know, M-E-T-H-O-D, that's Hall & Oates. M-E-T-H-O-D of Modern Love. Like, seriously, he took Method of Modern Love, Hall & Oates, and turned it into his own song.
Grimy hip-hop song.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
pretty much what he turned
yeah,
it into.
And, like, one of the, and I do love Hall & Oates, but really, one of the lamest Hall & Oates songs ever, so... Kudos.
I thought
Rexro
was about to start singing for us there. That was nice.
I mean, I you know, that's how it goes.
Right? I thought he was going to go, I can't go for that. I'm like, I like that song too.
One-on-one. Yeah, anyway, Vrabel, yeah. You can tell Vrabel on the call yesterday. First of all, I really appreciate some of the stuff Vrabel said about just, you know, he gave a nod to all the people out there doing stuff, the medical people, you know, people working at the, you know, we're all going out and getting takeout and everything, right? Or we're going to the grocery store. But what about the people that are out there working and dealing with that and putting themselves in harm's way and talking about how pampered we all are? So I appreciated that. You can tell, too, with Vrabel that, you know, this is probably driving him crazy. I mean, he is very hands-on. He's probably the most hands-on coach in the NFL. And he knows that all these things, that all the mini camps and the OTAs and everything, that's all going to get washed away. And, you know, that's, like he said, everyone's in the same situation. So you can't overthink it. You can't dwell on it. But I think especially for a coach like him, who really believes in that stuff, and then just to take it away, and at some point it's probably going to be like, okay, you guys get 2 weeks and get ready to play, or whatever it might be. It's not an ideal situation for him.
It's certainly not. And also, look, Dean Pease is gone. You're talking about coming in here, and somebody else is going to be calling plays. Now, we don't know exactly who it's going to be, and Mike Vrabel talked about that a little bit yesterday, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But that's the other part of this is, you know, you coming in, you're installing not a new system, but new guys are coming in. You got a new person calling plays other than Dean Pease, and you know you need reps with that. You need some communication to take place, and with this offseason kind of up in the air in terms of when you're going to be able to get in the facility and meet together. I mean, that can end up being a big deal. Now, do I think it's a huge deal for the Titans? No, but certainly I think that's something that in a perfect world, Mike Vrabel, other than the fact of just wanting to get in there and get his players that hands-on experience that he loves to do, that's another part of it, especially defensively, I think, is getting in there and getting a rhythm about you in terms of what you want to do, installing maybe some tweaks that you want to add now that Dean Pease is gone. Maybe you approach things a little bit differently, not a ton differently, but some of those things I think are harder to do now, not being able to meet in person.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest values of preseason games for this team would be the transition from Pease to, we think, Mike Vrabel calling plays. I mean, he was asked again. He's asked every time he talks to the media, and he's going to be asked every time until there's some kind of confirmation. But, you know, presumably, if it's Vrabel doing it, the preseason games would be real handy when it comes to that, just the whole operation, everyone getting used to it. I mean, these players – last couple of years, love Dean Pease. And the guys who've been around a long time, they love Dick LeBeau before him. But I think with Dean Pease, you know, I think he really, in a short period of time, really connected with a lot of these guys. And they had ultimate trust in him calling a game defensively and putting together a game plan and everything that goes into being a D coordinator. So those preseason games, I think, would be very useful and important from that perspective, that transition. And who knows if that's going to happen. I mean, for me, I say, hey, if this ends up like we can have football season and we get rid of the preseason games, okay.
I'm all for it.
It's fine. But if you're the Titans or you're – I'm sure every team in the NFL is like, no, we need some dress rehearsal here. But I think with the Titans in particular, from that perspective, the – because, you know, Arthur Smith's back. And you know, a lot of – most of the guys are back on offense. And that should be able to just kind of pick up, you know, where you left off. You know, with the defense, you think about Casey now gone. You think about, you know, we think Wesley Woodyard. I know his role reduced, but he was still an important guy, important voice. You know, as Logan Ryan gone. Logan Ryan, big, big factor communicating the back end. Even though you think about safeties mostly with that, I think Logan Ryan certainly a guy who just pre-snap, I think kind of like a quarterback on the other side of the field. Another reason his value is high, even if he's not a burner and a cover corner. So there's a lot of transition there that now you're going to have to work through and starting at the top with the play caller.
And, Joe, you mentioned yesterday on the call Vrabel being asked about if they know who will call defensive plays next year. Here is what Mike Vrabel had to say to that.
No, not yet. You know, still obviously, you know, processing a lot of that information and a role that I want to play. And, you know, I love our staff. I'm excited about our staff, our conversations in the morning to get the playbook exactly how we want it, to find out what we did well and continue to do that. And then what we needed, what we don't need, how much is too much in the book. And so that's kind of what we're doing now. And we'll have somebody call it. And I just need to continue to work through that process and figure out what my involvement is going to be and to what extent.
So you hear Mike Vrabel say that, Joe, and to me, whether it's, you know, every down, maybe that's not the case, but at least in some capacity, you would expect Mike Vrabel to have a much larger role in terms of the actual plays that are called defensively this season.
Yeah, I don't – like I'm not sure – and I'm not saying someone else couldn't do it, but I don't know who that would be. You know, I mean, another, we talk about the transition, by the way, and, you know, they lost a really, really good defensive back coach who, again, who now, of course, is Ohio State's new D coordinator.
Right.
Who, you know, was a big Kerry Combs, is really, really beloved and really, I think, important guy for that defense, or that defensive staff. But anyway, so there's a lot of transition, way more on that side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know if it's just like Vrabel's like, I don't need to tell you guys this right now, so I'm not going to. You know, whatever. He doesn't feel the need to get into it, or if he's got some different possibilities in terms of how the operation will work. I would assume that in his mind or communicated to the staff, they have a pretty good idea of how it will work. Maybe it's just a matter of it's just not time to get to that yet. Right now is personnel time, and they're focused on that, and then they'll get to that stuff, well, during OTAs and minicamp, which aren't going to happen. But I think when it's all said and done, it'll be him.
I think it will be too. And look, I don't expect there to be a ton of difference between him calling plays and Dean Pease calling plays. Now, having said that, Dean Pease, in terms of on the field, critical situation play calls, I mean, he had a lot of experience in that, and he did really well at that most of the time. Vrabel, I mean, I think you have confidence that he can do it, obviously, but there is going to be at least some difference between his in-game feel and the in-game feel of Dean Pease. Now, like I said, I don't think it's going to be a ton, but I do think you'll see some differences there, and the personnel part of it may force you to be different. Like, if Logan Ryan's not back, you may fill that spot with a guy who can't do as many different things and can't handle the workload that Logan Ryan was able to handle. So the personnel part of it is going to be really fascinating to watch, especially, you know, if Logan Ryan doesn't come back. You're talking about a guy that not only was out in coverage, but was a really good blitzer that Dean Pease utilized a lot. And if you don't have that, I wonder if there's a guy that they can either go draft or that they have on their roster that they feel comfortable handing off that much more responsibility to.
Right. And, you know, with Vrabel, you know, he had one bad year as a D coordinator in Houston, but again, injuries were a huge part of that. I mean, to me, it's like it's almost an incomplete, you know, but we're going to, I think, find out more about him as a defensive play caller. And I think he can do well. But again, when you're the head coach now, How does that not draw you away from some of the other things that you normally would do? I think any head coach in the NFL who wants to be a play caller on either side of the ball has to sacrifice something to do that.
When we come back, we'll provide an update on the bracket voting here at ESPN 102.5 The Game to determine the best athlete in Nashville in the last 30 years. We'll break down the Tim Corbin region and look ahead to the Phil Bredesen region. That's coming up next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.